Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, while they're coming, I'm telling you, we hear a lot about the economy being bad and stuff like that, but we had to fight for a parking space over there the other day at Gatlinburg at that shopping center, so it must not be too bad. Amen. And I know, I tell you what, I don't make a lot of money, but these folk over there about to kill each other over getting a parking space. Take you an hour to get in the parking space at Tanger Outlet over there. Yeah. You know, bless God, we ain't starving, but we've been blessed this morning. I just felt like we ought to sing this song. Brother, man, the Lord's just been good to us. The Bible says that Martha worked and Mary worshipped, you know, there. And the Lord said about that this one thing is needful. And I think if we could go through our churches in America this morning, we'd say there's one thing we need to do is just worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's worthy this morning. Hallelujah. This morning. Amen.
Warmth in the winter. Amen. Flowers in spring. The laughter of summer. The changing of leaves.
Food on my table. A good place to sleep. Clothes on my back.
That's right.
Shoes on my feet.
Yes, sir.
And I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind.
God has been good.
Oh, that's right. Hallelujah.
So good. I have been blessed.
Think about that.
Ears that can listen, eyes that can see, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe.
I have been blessed. A father and mother, nurtured and raised.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers. Memories made.
Our pastor to lead us. This altar to pray.
That's right.
Stripes that can heal. And the blood that still saves. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good. So
we live in a country, the greatest on earth, where the flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls, and Olive gave some, but some gave it all so that we could be blessed.
He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed.
Yes, sir.
The place where He hides me under His wings.
Glory to God.
He's not just a song. He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed.
Sing it now. Come on. Sing it together.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good.
Yes, sir.
So good. I have been. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. Yeah, glory to His holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Good. Amen. Amen.
What a blessing. Good. Good singing. Good singing. Good song. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's get our Bibles open now to John chapter 3. Everybody open your Bibles, please. John. St. John, they call it. The book of St. John chapter 3. Please open your Bibles there and look with me, will. Everybody, when you announce John chapter 3, we automatically think that we're going to hear a sermon on the famous, most famous verse in the world, John 3:16. But actually, I'll mention it, but I'm actually going a little bit before it this morning to John 3:14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. This is a verse of Scripture that's talking about Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and it's a picture of Jesus being lifted up on the cross. And in John chapter 3, I want to look this morning at verse number 14, and I want to show you a great truth here in the Word of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 14. Look at it if you will, please. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now the word I want you to look at is that word must. Jesus did not say this is going to happen. He did not say, well, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I'm going to be lifted up. He didn't say that. He said, like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must.
Amen.
It had to happen. It absolutely had to happen. The cross. Now, I want to preach this morning on the subject, the necessity of the cross.
Yes, sir.
Absolute necessity of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I'm going to talk about the cross. All your life you've seen crosses.
Amen.
People wear them around their neck. People put them up in their homes. Put them on top of buildings. You'll be driving down the road out in these big fields and you see them crosses where people put them up. I want to preach about this morning the necessity of the cross. Jesus said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know what that meant? It absolutely had to happen. It took place and it had to take place. And I'm going to tell you why. Some people give you the idea, I've even heard them say this, that the cross was sort of like plan B. That it was a plan went bad and the Lord messed around and got Himself killed and crucified, and then so God took that and used it anyway and saved a bunch of people by the cross. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. The cross was not plan B. Some people say it never happened. There's a lot of people in this world dumb enough to say that the cross never even took place. Like the Holocaust. You know, there's people going around saying the Holocaust never happened. Although there's descendants and people, there's abundance of proof that the Holocaust did take place in Germany. And anybody that's reasonable knows that it did take place. They're trying to say the cross never took place. They're trying to say it's insignificant. They're trying to say it was Plan B. But the truth is this morning, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was a divine must. It absolutely had to happen according to Jesus. And it has a 6 or 7-fold necessity to it this morning. And I want to just give you these things and cause you to appreciate what happened on the cross. We come to church, we sing at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. We sing that. Those were years I spent in vanity and pride. Caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Listen, those are not just words, friend. Those are something that we live and believe in and that we'll carry to our deathbed one of these days. I'm preaching about the necessity of the cross. First of all, this morning, I want to say sin made it necessary. Sin made it necessary. Had there been no sin, there'd be no need for the cross. The second sin became actual, the cross became essential. Did you get that? The second sin became actual, the cross became essential. It had to take place because of sin. No way could our Lord have took us to heaven in sin. Except the cross had to happen. You see, God's up here, we're down here. And there's no way for us to get where God is. No way. I don't care how good you are, you're down here, God's up here. You've sinned, He's not. He's up here in heaven, we're down here on earth. We're all sinners. Everybody in here sinned. We've all done wrong. And let me just show you a question this morning. Look here. How many in here this morning have ever told a lie? Just a little lie, at least one lie in your life. Would you raise your hand, please? All right. This is the biggest crowd of liars I've preached to in quite a while. But I mean, I already knew that anyway before I asked you. I'm just trying to get you to realize. I'm trying to get you to see it. Now listen, how many lies do you have to tell to make you a liar? One. One lie. Somebody said, well, I'm not really a liar. Yeah, if you told a lie, you are. You only have to tell one lie to be a liar. How many of you ever stole anything? You took one thing that really did not belong to you. Would you raise your hand, please? You got answers off somebody's sheet at school on a test. Yeah, okay, whatever. All right. You've acted like you was working when the boss wasn't in. When he come in, then you acted like you was working, and you really. Okay. Let's just get rid of all that. You know. We're all sinners. We're all liars. We're all thieves. We've broken God's word. Now listen. The second sin came into this world. The cross became essential. Our Lord, the Bible said, bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Now listen, if you ever get a hold of that just right, I'm telling you, it'll put a shout down in your soul. If that ever dawns on you just right, that He bore our sins on the tree. Glory to God. Listen, people, this ain't about me. You don't come to church and see Danny Cat. You, Lord, if that's all you got to see, you're going to be really let down. I mean, it ain't just the choir. It's not just Brother Jason, the singers. It's not just our beautiful building here. Brother, there's somebody here that bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was our only hope. His only hope for Adam. His only hope for Eve. His only hope for Cain, Abel, Noah, Joab, and Jephthah, and Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, and Solomon, and David. Sin made it necessary. But I will say secondly this morning quickly, holiness made it necessary. Holiness made it necessary. Never before was holiness demonstrated like it was on the cross. He was our divine substitute. The Lord's death on the cross was spoken of. Now listen, let me give you a comparison. They wrote a book on Abraham Lincoln. Somebody wrote a book on the book of life of Abraham Lincoln, and it was 5,000 pages. And out of those 5,000 pages on the book of Abraham Lincoln, only 25 pages were dedicated to his death. He got shot there in the theater. And Abraham Lincoln of all the acts he did and all the things he did in his life, 5,000 pages, and 4,995 of them was about his life, and 5 pages was talking about his death. You know why? Because to us here in the year 2012, the death of Abraham Lincoln really don't affect us one way or the other. It really don't help us or hurt us. His life has affected us for sure. But his death doesn't affect us one way or the other. Now let me give you a contrast. There's some books wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. 4 of them specifically, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, besides tens of thousands of others. Did you know that 1/3 of the Gospel of Mark is dedicated to his death? There's something different about this man. When you write a book about anybody else, it's 90% their life and a little bit their death. When you write a book about Jesus Christ, his death is 1/3 of the book. That's like 33 out of 100. 1/3 of the book of Luke is about his death. One half of the book of John deals and refers to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because it was the most significant fact in history. The fact that he knew he was going to die. Listen, I know people that I've not met people. They even say, he didn't know this was going to happen and he was trying to bring in the kingdom and then they killed him and all that. Let me tell you something, brother. The time he opened his eyes in Bethlehem's manger until he closed them on Calvary's cross, he knew he was going. He knew what he's here for. He knew what his purpose was. He saw us. He knew how we was. And he came to die. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. There's a lot of people say, well, tell me something different, preacher. Listen, if that don't fool you, you don't need to hear nothing different. You need to get the basics straightened out. I'm glad holiness made it necessary. Amen. The cross isn't just something you wear around your neck. On the cross, that's where Jesus paid the price for your sin. Number 3, let me say quickly this morning, justice made it necessary. God is just. And God declared one day, he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's a just God. He was absolutely just in that. I get tired of hearing people say God's not fair. Listen, God is way fair. I've heard people say, well, it's not fair that God would sin. Nobody's bad enough to go to hell. Well, nobody's good enough to go to heaven. So if it's not fair, God put people in hell. It's not fair, God take people in heaven. The truth is, God is fair and made it possible for everybody to go to heaven. He is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But how can a just God be just and justify a guilty sinner? That's been the problem. Read the book of Romans. That's the discussion there in those few chapters of Romans. How can a just God justify a guilty sinner? How can a holy God take a sinner into his presence? And that, you know what that means? How can somebody like me and you go to heaven? How can that be? How can God let me in heaven? I've said a cuss word, or I've told a lie. You say, preacher, I've drank liquor and I've lied and I've broke every commandment in the book. How's God gonna let you in heaven? How is it? Your life isn't no good. Your life is no good. Mine's not either. You could find the best person in the world and their life still... here's where the Bible puts it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what does God do? God in his mind. God back in the eons of the ages. Back before the world ever. God has a plan. Before man ever fell. Before Adam and Eve ever sinned. You ain't going to get to jump on God. Before Adam and Eve ever fell. Back under in the Garden of Eden, God in his mind had a plan of redemption. So what the Lord does, he's up here in heaven, he's perfect, right? He's up there in heaven, he's perfect. We can't get there. We're down here, we're just so sorry sinners. The best we can do ain't good enough. So the Bible says God so loved the world, he lets his Son come, and he goes between us and God. And he's man, but he's God. He's all God, but he's all man. You'll hear all about that in the next few days, because it's getting Christmas time. He was God manifest in the flesh. I'm going to tell you, brother, he wasn't half God, and he wasn't half man. He was all God and all man at the same time. God in the flesh. The greatest story the world ever heard. Congress needs to hear it. The Senate needs to hear it. President needs to hear it. Iran needs to hear it. Iraq needs to hear it. raised the head. All religions in the world, God so loved the world. Buddha couldn't touch that with a 30-foot pole. Muhammad couldn't get nowhere near that. Thank God the lovely Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven and paid the price for our sin on the cross. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the longer I live, the sorrier I know I am, the more I don't deserve heaven. But He is the justifier of him that believe in Jesus. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know who that is? You and me. Because we believe in Jesus. I like that story. You know, I heard all them old preachers, all the old preachers used to preach on that story of the woman there who was caught in adultery. And they brought this woman to Jesus. And you know that story how the Pharisees sit around there and this woman committed adultery. And all the Pharisees were standing around there saying, what are you going to do with her, Lord? What are you going to do with her, Lord? And the Lord looked back at them and He just kneeled down and wrote something on the ground. Amen. Act like He didn't hear them. And then He stood up. And they said, well, are you not going to do something to this woman? We call her committing adultery. And He stooped down again and wrote something on the ground. And one at a time, they just turned around and walked off. Amen. I've heard it. Listen, I've heard that preached every way it can be preached. I've heard all the different slants and all the different takes on that scripture. I've heard preachers preach, he wrote the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, and they got convicted and walked off. You did this and you did that, and you ain't no better, started writing out their sins. I've heard that preached that way. But the best I've ever, I mean, I've read commentaries and I've heard Greek teachers and everything. The best explanation I've ever heard of that story, I'm not sure it's right, but it's the best one I've ever heard, is old Mays Jackson. He's on the radio preaching and he talked about that song. And you know what he said? He said he wrote down one time, he stooped down, he said, justice called. And they said, justice, serve justice. Kill this woman. She's adulteress, kill her. And then the Lord stood down and He said, but mercy answered. Amen. Justice called, but mercy answered. That's good enough for me, buddy. I'll take that any day of the week. I mean, you don't have to be a theologian to figure that out. Thank God, justice called, but mercy answered. That night I fell on my knees. Justice called. Put Danny in hell. Danny deserved to go to hell, but mercy answered. Let him live. Let him live. Listen, justice made it necessary. Number four, the law made it necessary. Did you know the law made it necessary that Christ died on the cross? Had to happen. You see, the law don't bend. The law don't give you no slack. The law, let me put it so y'all can understand it in 2012. The law don't grade you on a curve. You know, these days we'll give somebody an A just for trying hard. The law don't do that. He said, thou shalt not, and if you do it, you're done. Period. No mercy. There is no mercy in the law. The law made it necessary. Now the truth is, the Bible said, if you break one of them commandments, you're guilty of all. It don't mean you did them all, but you're guilty. All the world may become guilty before God. I know there's some people that sin more than other people and all that kind of stuff, but the truth is this. If we're all in this water, and we all drown, it don't matter that you almost made it. It don't matter that you outswam somebody else. A lot of people say, well, they drowned an hour ago, but I'm doing better now. But if you still drown, we're all drowning. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. It don't matter how good a swimmer you are, we all drown. And it don't make nobody no better off than nobody else. What good does it do? You say, well, I almost made it, but you didn't make it. You say, well, I was closer than they was. Yeah, but you still wasn't close enough. That the law made it necessary. You know what the law says? The law said this. He said, you got to do this. He said, you got to do this and this and this and this. And if you don't do it, you're a sinner. But the Jesus came. He said, I come not to destroy the law, but fulfill the law. So the Lord come down here. He walked 33 years, never took a step out of place, never put His hand on nothing. He wasn't supposed to. Never said one word out of His mouth and fulfilled the law to the T. Yep. So that when I put my faith in Him, God puts His life on my record. Do you understand that? We can shout about that. Hallelujah, glory to God. Woo! Amen. Listen, the Lord puts His life on my record, and the law is satisfied that way. Amen. You still got a lot of people. You meet, if you out and interview 100 people on any street, 75 of them will tell you that you got to be good to go to heaven when you die. And the truth is, they ain't good, and you don't got to be good. You ought to try to be good, but you don't go to heaven because you're good. You go to heaven by trusting in Him who was good. He was good. You trust Him. That's your ticket to go to heaven. You say, well, you're just saying people can live anyhow. I didn't say that at all. If you trust Him, it'll make you want to live right. It'll make you want to do right. That's it. I'm just saying the law made it necessary. You know what He said when He's on the cross? Listen to what He said when He's on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He told that thief on the cross, verily I say unto you, this day you'll be with me in paradise. You know what He told him on the cross? Woman, behold thy son. You know what He said on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, why did the Lord say that? Because it was at that one second when all of our sins were put on Jesus, God turned His back like this. Because God won't look on sin. So when all your sins, my sins, was put on the Lord, God turned His back and Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Him and the Father had never been separated before, ever, throughout eternity. And so God turned His back on sin. And then He said, the sixth thing He said, well, the fifth thing was, I thirst. And the sixth thing He said was, it is finished. And the last thing He said was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know what He did? He lived 33 and one half years. He kept the law perfect and died as a substitute for our sins. And He said, it's finished. I've done it. I've paid the price. And I'm coming to your spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. His soul went into the heart of the earth. His body went into the tomb. His spirit went to God who gave it. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. His soul goes into the heart of the earth. His body goes into the tomb. And brother, He finished it. I'm telling you, when He said, it's finished, there ain't nothing else we can do to it. Nothing you can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away. And if the heathen rage and the devil fusses and they try to find fault with the Bible and they write movies and everything else blaspheming God, that thing will never change. It's fixed forever. Hallelujah. Oh, the law made it necessary. Let me tell you something else. Prophecy made it necessary. Did you know it's impossible that prophecy not be fulfilled? If God said something was going to happen in the Old Testament, it has to happen. There's no way it can not happen. Prophecy made it necessary. It would have remained unfulfilled if Jesus hadn't died on the cross. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. But He opened not His mouth. When they beat Him, you seen that movie where they slapped Jesus and they took that whip and they ripped out His flesh and his guts were almost out back here and the blood was down His back. It said they plowed up His back like you'd take a plow and plow it in your garden. They plowed up His back. And then they covered His face with their spit. And everybody just stood and spit in His face. And all that. You know why that had to happen? Because the Lord said it through Isaiah 700 years earlier. In Isaiah 53:7, He was oppressed. He was afflicted, but He opened not His mouth. Psalm 49:1:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. That was Judas betraying Him. Isaiah 50:6. I gave my back to the smiters. That's where they killed Him. Psalm 22:14. I am poured out like water. My heart is melted in the midst of my bowels. Isaiah 53:12. He bore the sin of many. Isaiah 53:10-11 in there. He made His grave with the wicked. It had to happen to fulfill the Scripture. It was necessary. Prophecy made it necessary. But I'll say six this morning, salvation made it necessary. All things must be fulfilled concerning me. He said in Luke 24:44. Amen. Salvation made it necessary. We couldn't have got saved if He hadn't died on the cross. He rescued me. He rescued me. He's my daysman. He's my in-between. He's our go-between. He got a holy God with this hand, sinful man with this hand, and said, I'll pay their debt, and brought us together. That's what a daysman is in the book of Job. That's what a mediator is in the book of Timothy. It's a go-between, like a lawyer. Like a lawyer goes between you and the judge, Jesus goes between us and God and pays the price for our sin. I heard years ago about this train engineer. And he'd go through this certain town every day, and there'd be a little girl out here waved at him every day. She'd wave out there playing and wave at him, and he'd wave at her. They got to where they was doing that every day. Well, one day the train was late, and she'd forgot about it, and it was about 30 minutes late, and he'd come around the curb and flying out through there, and the little girl was playing on the tracks. And when he saw her on the tracks, he hit the brakes of that old train, and them old things can't stop good, you know. It just started sliding. You've seen them do that. And he's going to run over, and that old boy, that engineer, reached to run over there and climb out over the top of that, over the cow catcher they have on the front of them old-timey trains, and reached down and grabbed that little girl and put her to safety. He fell. The train run over him, and she was saved. And I heard about that, and I thought, you know what? That old boy gave his life to rescue that little girl from danger. He who rescued me from danger interposed his precious blood. I'm telling you, I was like that. I was on the train track. I mean, the devil had me done, brother. I mean, he's going to put old Danny in hell. I'm glad somebody loved me enough to go over top of that thing and grab me, and he gave his life down so that I could be saved. Salvation made it necessary. Salvation made it necessary. He said down there, in the Pittsburgh, at the airport, there's a place there where it comes in a lot of times. It's real foggy. It's real, real foggy. And they say sometimes there's a cross on one of them churches down there. And a lot of times them pilots will come in and they'll see that cross. And they'll head toward that cross and it guides them in. Head toward that cross. And it guides them in. Amen. Them old pilots up there coming in with that plane, all them people back there, you listening? There's all them people riding that plane. That old pilot's looking. He said, I can't see the ground. I can't see home plate. I can't see exactly where we're going to land, but I can see that cross. And I'll point that thing toward the cross. He said, we'll make it on in. That's what I'm doing. It's like this church, Shining Light Baptist Church, is a big old plane. And we're all on board. And I'm like the pilot this morning. And I'm guiding. Listen, brother, I can't see what all we might be going through next year. I don't know what all we're going to be facing. But I'm pointing this thing toward the cross. I'm pointing this thing toward the cross. We'll be all right, people. We'll be all right. Listen, if I was up here saying, join this militia and do that and try to... Listen, ain't no telling where we'd wind up. But you know how come we can't go wrong? Because I'm pointing us toward the cross. Hey, brother, if you can just keep your eyes on that cross, just go toward that cross, you'll be alright. Having marriage trouble, go to the cross. Amen. Having financial problems, go to the cross. Amen. I will tell you a story this morning. For years, young man's here this morning, I've been praying for 5 years, been witnessing to him, talking to him. Last night, I got a call, went over to his house, came back from our couple trip early to go over there and talk to him. And I went over and began to witness. And I told him, I said, Fred, I said, just go to the cross. Just go to the cross. Fred, just go to the cross. I said, of all, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. Just go to the cross. And he did that. And he gave his life to the Lord last night. He's sitting right back there. Right there, Fred. Hey, hand back there. Amen. He's 82 years old, brother. Got saved by the grace of God. I've been praying for that for 5 years. And the Lord let me. Listen, you know that just don't happen. That just don't happen. Glory to God. All you got to do is point them to the cross. People, just point them to the cross. Take your best kids and point them to the cross. Take them to the cross. At the cross, every need of mankind is met. He said this train one time. This man drove a train through his town, like you know them big train, like a trolley that goes around and picks people up all over town. And he had different stops. He had Maple. He had Fifth Avenue. He had different places where he stopped. And there was a cemetery there called Calvary Cemetery in that town. And it was one of his stops. He had Vanity Fair. He had Main Street. He had Parade Street. And they said what he'd do, he'd come on that microphone. He'd be going up there and he said, Trade Street! Trade Street! Anybody for Trade Street? Somebody'd say, yeah, me! He'd stop and let them off. He'd go up there and say, Parade! Parade Street coming up! Parade Street's nuts. Anybody for parade? It stopped. Let them off. And he said, he going up the rails a little bit. Main Street coming up next stop. Anybody from Main Street? He'd stop and let them off. They come to that Calvary Cemetery and they said every day, he's on a Calvary, anybody for Calvary? He said, a man sitting back there one time, they listened to that man, and he said, stop, anybody for Calvary? Man jumped up and said, me, I'm going. He jumped up and got off. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm sitting up here saying, anybody for Calvary? Anybody for Calvary? Anybody need your sins forgiven? Anybody need anything took care of? Anybody need your heart relieved? Anybody need that heavy burden that you're carrying take away from you this morning? Are you here this morning carrying a heavy load? Anybody for Calvary? Put it on the altar this morning. You get out of your seat, get down here on this altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I believe you died for me on Calvary and I'm committing all this to your hands and I guarantee you God will wipe your slate clean and give you a new start. Salvation made it necessary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the cross. I want to say to you this morning, I'm through. This is not just a religious story, I'm telling you. It's not just a little emblem people wear around their neck. The cross is where every need of mankind is to be met. Do you have a need this morning? Are you sitting there saying, boy, I feel like a dog. I've not been living right. I'm awful this morning. I can tell you how you can leave here this morning with a brand new start. Bring it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Will you do it? Let's stand with our heads.